bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, as we think about the scriptures we've just read, Lord, we think about just being World Communion Sunday. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit will move amongst us. Open our minds and our hearts, Lord, and truly may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my mind, be acceptable before you and your people. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You ever seen something that shocked you? Something kind of out of the ordinary? Something like that? I had a minister kind of come into the pulpit, and I've used this once before, I know, when I was up in Barrie as a student, and Rick Horst, who was the moderator of the General Assembly, also wore one of these. And we greeted everybody at the back door after the service, and greeted everybody at the back door of the service, and shook hands, and had, after a while you stopped noticing, at least from this side anyway. And these things seem out of the ordinary. Something really, when you look at something like this, it just doesn't seem right. And it causes you to kind of stop for a moment, especially when you see, you know, the collar and all that sort of stuff going on, and as a clown knows. I do have a clown wig, but I didn't go that far this morning. I've actually worn clown shoes here during a service. I think early on when I was here, I had the clown shoes on and had the kids try to notice something different. You may have laughed if you've seen something that was out of the ordinary and out of place. You may have wondered. You may have been happy. You might have even been slightly angry, wondering what was going on. Whatever you felt at that moment when you saw it, you thought and you definitely felt something. But most of all, really what it does is it causes you to stop for a moment. It's that feeling and sense of surprise I want you to be thinking about when we hear that scripture from Philippians this morning. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At the name. At the name of Jesus. So that name alone, as that scripture is telling us, at the name of Jesus being said, it's the same effect, so in a sense. It causes everybody to, what? It's something that stops the world for a moment. It's not a profession, a prophecy of what's going to happen. It's a promise. Not in, but at the name of Jesus, everything and all of creation will stop for a moment, will stop breathing, will stop moving, will stop talking, will stop everything and bow down. It's a very powerful picture when you think about that for a moment. It's something that has lost its meaning. It's something that has lost its meaning, as we even read in their scriptures today in this message from Paul in Philippians, when he says that Jesus followed God, basically, in God's plan to death, even a death on the cross. Now, those are powerful words in the context of the Philippian church. Those are powerful words in the context of that time period, because dying on the cross was only for the lowest of low criminals. And it's changed over time. It's become a symbol of our church. It's become a symbol of what we believed, and rightfully so. But in the context of their time, for them to say, Jesus didn't just die. He died on a cross. That stopped everybody's conversation. The guy you're following, the guy you're claiming was God, the guy you're claiming was in charge, died on a cross? That can't be. Because that death is only for, really, scum. Put a phrase on it. The lowest, I mean, just regular criminals, they might get executed. They might get put to the sword. They might even get hung. But a cross, it must have been something heinous
and terrible and disgusting. And you're saying he's Lord? You're saying he's somebody we should bow down to? Over time, we've lost the context in that sense. And over time, we've lost that sense of at the name of Jesus. We've lost something. You know, we have a lot of things that maybe can help us connect to this again about the power of someone's name. Maybe in a close parallel, it's not the same thing, it's a parallel, when you see an ad that says, "Tell them Bob sent you and you'll get 10% off your purchase. In Bob's name, you get a lower price. At the name of Bob, your bill is slightly reduced." It's the same idea when you go in that store and say, "Bob, oh, you're the one that gets the 10% discount." Bob's name means something here. Bob's name is important here. It's not just an advertising gimmick, and we know that it is, but it means something's going to happen. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. The guy that died on a cross, died on a cross. Every knee shall bow. Other ways that we can draw a parallel: if you say certain names today, there's a certain feeling, an emotion comes about it. I could say Donald Trump. Jack's shaking his head. I could say Trudeau. You can pick which version you want of that. It can bring up other emotions. I could say Carla Homolka. It brings up other emotions instantly. These are names. For those of us in this room that are old enough to remember and have encountered, and I'm not one of them, but the name of Hitler at one time meant something horrible. I was talking to my daughter, my youngest daughter, just the other day, and she has a friend of hers who's about 10 years younger than she is right now, so she's would be in her 20s, early 20s, this young girl. No idea who Hitler was. She's Jewish, by the way. Never heard of him. And she wasn't kidding. Not talked about at school. You can't say that name, so they don't study that. I know, some schools. I was shocked when I heard that. I didn't believe her. I thought she was pulling my leg. And I spoke to this young girl. I think he had something to do with a war. It was the best she could come up with. In that sense, lost its meaning, like Jesus kind of has in that same striking sense of dying on the cross. Now, I'm not drawing a parallel between those two people. I'm just saying that the impact of the name is missing. Terror was struck. You can go back further in time, and there's all kinds of names that can come up. Attila the Hun. You know, Brian, you and I love history. And the city of Venice, city that's got the canals, got started because they were so afraid of that man's name. They went off into the swamps so he wouldn't chase them and destroy them. He abandoned the city they were living in and disappeared because of his name. They knew he was coming. Attila the Hun is just some guy now in history books. Lost its meaning. The parable that Jesus tells in Matthew in our reading today about the authority and power of a name. Who listens to a father's command in public? In this parable. It's more than just listening. It's about honoring the name, respecting the name of their father, and doing something about it at the same time. The father asks his two sons to do something and only one of them acts accordingly. It's one thing to say you understand the power of the Father's name, but it's another to act at the power of this Father's name. And that's the point of Jesus' story to the leaders at the time. Jesus is putting it directly to the leaders of his day, just in those terms. It's a question of power, honor, respect, and mostly action. And that puts more to what Paul says when he this promise that's in verse 10 in Philippians. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to both work will and to work for His good pleasure. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. These are two things that we want to think about in this context for a minute. At the name of Jesus, stop. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Stop again. They connect to each other. They connect because fear and trembling are poor translations in English for us. It's an outward sign of awe is what's trying to be emphasized here. Out of respect. It's not being afraid and shaking as a result. What's being emphasized here is that there's a respect for the Father. There's a respect for the name of Jesus. There's an understanding and a respect of what Jesus did to die on the cross. Jesus didn't just die. He died on the cross. He took the lowest path to work out God's plan. There's an old song, and I want to close with the lyrics of this, that I love. Not that old, I suppose, but it's an old gospel tune. And I'm not going to sing it this morning. I don't have the voice. It goes the words of this. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. Something about that name. Jesus is calling us to reflect on that this day of World Communion. Let the awe and the respect and the power of that name, the name that died on that cross, fill us and renew us. Amen. The works of the Lord are truly wondrous indeed. Let us now offer back to God a portion of what God has given us for the glory of God's name. Let us present our offering and our tithes.